Our next speaker is a member of the Wolfpack and a stalwart of the PAC steering committee. Jean?
Thank you, Abigail. How would Wolf face the current economic crisis? Is the majority of his money in the stock market? Does he have a subprime mortgage on the brownstone? Invite a hedge fund manager to dinner. Does he know what a hedge fund manager does? Would Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke call him for advice? Would he call Mr. Bernanke? Considering how Wolf is so resistant to change, how would he feel about the numerous bank acquisitions that have many consumers believing that they've inadvertently joined the Bank of the Month Club? What economies would Wolf take? Fire Fritz and order takeout? Sell the orchids? Cut Archie's hours to part-time? Sell the brownstone and move to Jersey? I asked these questions to several steering committee members, and their belief was that Wolf was a fiscally responsible person, however fictional he was, and would weather the economic crisis without incident. I don't think so. Wolf doesn't have an accountant or an attorney. Archie does the taxes, and he freely admits that he cheats a little, nothing indecent. Now, we all know and love Archie, but he's better known for his ability to follow a suspect without getting lost, without losing him, as a coveted dance partner at the Flamingo, and for his remarkable memory more than any Mad Money Jim Cramer skills. As Wolf allows the bank balance to get so low that Archie is forced to goad him to work and find clients, Wolf eats and drinks the finest foods and liquors. He spares no expense offering hospitality to guests. He donates generously to charitable causes. He has charged fees as low as $4.30. And when he has a personal interest or he doesn't want to sit on a hard bench waiting to testify, he will begin an investigation without a client or work without payment. Fritz and Theodore are artists, and they expect the best materials and equipment to perform their magic. They will not compromise their standards. Well, there was that tarragon, saffron, starling incident, but that wasn't really about cutting costs, and it was mostly Wolf's fault. It does show an inability of the members of the household to compromise and that they resist change. Wolf would not have fared well post 9/11 with the adoption of Sarbanes-Oxley, the U.S. Patriot Act, and the Bank Secrecy Act, all those pesky rules that have made bankers so nosy, they would cramp Wolf's casual attitude towards money and finance. Depositing or withdrawing large sums of money raises all sorts of red flags. Consider Wolf's fees, and then think of the cash transaction report required for any deposit made over $10,000, and the purchase of negotiable instruments over $3,000. FDIC insurance was recently raised coverage from $100,000 to $250,000. Yes, there are ways to open multiple accounts in the same bank for more than $250,000, but I don't see Wolf as a joint account type person. If Wolf preferred to keep his assets liquid, he may have rarely left the brownstone, but he did appear to be ready to decamp at a moment's notice, and he has lived 15 or 20 past lives. He would need several banking relationships, and not just the ones with Higgins and Mitchell at the Metropolitan Trust Company, 34th Street branch. Of course, Higgins and Mitchell would no longer be working at the Metropolitan Trust Company, having violated the privacy terms of the Graham-Leach-Lively Act, they would have been terminated. Not that Wolf needs them to require financial reports on potential clients any longer. They've been replaced by Yahoo Finance. It is doubtful that Wolf invested heavily in the stock market. Wolf never mentions reading the Wall Street Journal, and Archie maintains germination records. He doesn't clip coupons. There's no chatter about CDs or IRAs, Roth or otherwise. Money market funds and bonds are never mentioned. The money may be in trust, but for whom? His daughter, Carla Wolf Britton, predeceased him and left no children. His closest friends, Marco Buchik, died on the Black Mountain. Wolf sent 8 orchids to the funeral of Bess Huddleston. Fritz and Theodore appear to be older and less robust than Wolf, and he is likely to outlive them. Archie risks his life regularly, driving cars, taking frantic dashes in taxi cabs, riding trains, and flying on airplanes. Should he outlive Wolf, he will inherit the business. There's little reason to worry about the tax deductions of the estate, or even an estate if the government will be the recipient. Except, of course, if there is no money. Wolf once referred to himself as an uncle and never mentions a niece or a nephew. Again, is Wolf supporting an extended family in Montenegro who would be endangered if their connection to him was known? Fritz knows Wolf longer than Archie and may know about a family connection. Perhaps that's why Fritz worries about the bank balance more than anyone else in the household. Incredibly, Archie always refers to the checkbook, singular. No separation of business and personal expenses, not post-Enron. Mrs. Barry Rackman, Rachel Bruner, Otis Jarrell, and Mrs. Jimmy Vale, and others may not have written such generous checks to Wolf if the funds could not have been withdrawn from a corporate entity that they used as a personal piggy bank. And then there's the matter of determining legitimate business expenses. I do not know if expenses charged to peak are considered within generally accepted accounting principles. His payments to Mr. Jones would bring pointed inquiries from Homeland Security. Also troubling is Wolf's lack of a credit history. This would make for a very low FICO score. He owns the brownstone outright. No mention is made of an automobile loan on the Heron. Wolf doesn't carry any money, and Archie prefers to deal with cash. Checks and credit cards leave trails that can be followed. A healthy stash of cash is always in the office safe. The fact that Wolf is self-employed in a high-risk business, especially susceptible to economic downturns, no steady income, high overhead expenses, and a questionable balance sheet all point to a low credit score and a visit to a payday lender, if not associates of Daisy Perrett. The strongest argument for economic gloom over the Black Brownstone is that there is no story in fiscal responsibility. I'm a public relations manager for a bank that is strong and solid. My job has never been more difficult. I call and pitch. We exceeded our earnings expectations. We're still lending. We're celebrating our 170th anniversary. They hang up on me. They want drama. They want despair. And so do you. Here are a few gloomy scenarios that might play out in the brownstone in these troubled economic times. Nathaniel Parker, Esquire, responds to an urgent telephone call from Wolf. Special agents from the FBI Newark and Joint Terrorism Task Force are camped out in the office, and their paperwork and laptops are spilling over into the front room. A foreign wire transfer to one of Wolf's more dubious associates is being investigated. Criminal charges are pending. Archie is dipping into the safe deposit in Jersey City. He plans to replace the money playing poker with Saul. So far, Archie is losing, and the visits to the safe deposit box are increasing. Fritz, shocked that the food pantry does not stock fresh herbs and spices to go with the pasta and beans provided, organizes a community herb garden. He creates new and delicious low-cost meal and shares the recipes with his new friends. Guest appearances on the Today Show, Rachel Ray, and the Iron Chef spark interest in a new show hosted by Fritz. It is widely rumored that next season he will replace Top Chef host Pamika Lashka. Padma Lashka, former wife of Solomon Rusky, lamented Padma on the New York Times posts page 6. Cooking, there's no integrity anymore. It's all about sex and good looks now. Theodore is caught selling orchid seeds to Wolf's rivals to save his sister's home from foreclosure. Wolf demands a 50-50 split. Lily Rowan, whose fortune is untouched thanks to the financial planning of her father, read a stranglehold on the trust fund because he knew she was lazy and intemperate. This is dining and dancing with Archie since he took the job repossessing boats for a repo man on Long Island. She sends in a team of CPAs to work around the clock to save Wolf from bankruptcy and get Archie back on the payroll. Paul Sands Panzer, ever faithful to Wolf, refuses a generous job offer from Larry Dell Bascom, Saul subsidizes his income playing the piano at the Waldorf Astoria lobby. Spotted by Mrs. Jasper Pine, cougar, he decides to accept the offer that Archie previously turned down, but only until Wolf gets on his feet, he insists. Doc Vollmer, now operating a free medical clinic for the former wealthy clients fleeced by Wolf, isn't surprised when Wolf requests a house call, but is shocked at the request for a DNA test. The results are inconclusive, and Wolf's claim on the Sherlock Holmes family fortune is lost in court. Wolf dictates a children's story, The Moth That Ate Cracker Jacks. The screenplay is opted by Disney Pixar, and Daniel Craig and Beyonce voice the animated feature produced and directed by acclaimed indie filmmaker Julie Jacquette. Rolling Stone calls it brilliant, very satisfactory. Recently paroled Amy Nguyen, whose first four attempts at early release were denied by the parole board due to her insistence that Wolf shake her hand, cries plagiarism. She engages him in a costly lawsuit that further stresses the household financial when Disney places Wolf's advance in all earnings in escrow pending a decision by the court. Wolf decides that in lieu of the unusually generous checks he sends to charities at the holiday season, he will volunteer his time instead. As a bell ringer for the Salvation Army, he is shocked to see how many people willingly leave their homes on a daily basis. Uncomfortable sharing the corner with a knockoff designer bag vendor and the largely female clientele, he persuades the man to move to another corner with the mention of Inspector Kramer. Wolf's keen observation skills lead to foiling a jewelry store robbery and identifying a minute mistiming of traffic signals that, when corrected, eliminate all traffic congestion on Fifth Avenue during Christmas. To date, there has been no response from the health department on Wolf's report of the hot dog vendor's numerous health and safety violations. Inspector Kramer, suspicious that housebound Wolf is walking the streets of New York City in a Santa suit, is convinced he is working on one of NYPD's open cases. Plainclothes officers put Wolf under 24/7 surveillance until Wolf asks one of the officers to relieve him when his backup doesn't show for a scheduled break. Fred Durkin, with a wife and four hungry children to feed, turns his taste for vinegar into an infomercial that breaks all sales records. The camera guy follows Fred as he uses vinegar to kill weeds, clean clogged drains, supply essential and non-essential nutrients to anyone who wants to look and feel great, and it's the perfect accompaniment to squaw. ShamWow spokesman Vince Offer hails Fred's infomercial as pure genius. I say wow every time I watch. Call now because Fred can't do this all day. Send $13.99 for 2 16-ounce bottles of Fred Durkin's vinegar. Order online and we'll double your order. That's 4 16-ounce bottles for only $14.99. Plus shipping and handling. Operators are standing by. Dahl Bonner subsidizes her struggling detective agency by teaching a course at the Learning Annex, online dating and miserable lying stinking liars. Sorry, online dating and miserable stinking liars. There is a 6-month waiting list. The catalog copy reads, "This course is a must for every single in Manhattan. I use the Dahl Bonner investigation method before I date anyone I've met online. Garrow Wolf, private detective." Lawsuit against Learning Annex and Dahl Bonner pending. Wolf suffers a relapse. Fritz pawns his prized ancient cooking vessel, reportedly used by Julius Caesar's chef, to buy a half of a sheep. They cook it. They cook the different parts in 20 different ways. His recovery is slow. Wolf and Fritz transform the Brownstone into the hottest echo-sensitive restaurant in Manhattan. Rapturous reviews in the New York Times and the New York Magazine, and a subject of a feature article in Vanity Fair, flood the restaurant with A-list celebrities, A-Rod and Madonna, Barack and Michelle Obama, sans the first daughters, George Clooney and Danny DeVito, the Jonas Brothers, and Mary J. Blige. Fortune smiles on the brownstone until an obscure literary society holds their annual December banquet and the restaurant closes 3 months later.
Very satisfactory. Does anybody have any questions for Jean? Mary.
I have one nitpick. I suggest that Mr. Fundy and All Day Bar are getting a liar's loan, because he would want to share some
answers. Yeah, he'd get a liar's loan?
All Day is called liar loans.
Not from my bank. We don't do that.
Last night, we, as you know, had our book, the staff of Pete Stafford, which has been there.
We hope.
I hope it's so.
We don't care about this hotel. But the list does grow longer. No more questions for Jean with her scenario?
I have one little bit. I think Wolf did have bonds.
Yes.
You think he
had bonds? He did. I made a note myself that at some point Archie either goes or has to cash in some bonds to meet the monthly expenses because Wolf
does. And
he doesn't have them.
Well,
Some.
But, all right, I'll need the reference.
It's not spare money.
I mean, it is intriguing because, you know, it is fiction, but they do live in a world that ended in 75, 76, which was really a pre-credit card era. So people were not living on plastic. They were a cash business. And with Wolf, whatever came in absolutely went out because those ingredients, as we know, are very expensive, and he never spared any expense on anything. He did own the brownstone, and he did own the house in Egypt, so I don't think there was a mortgage.
But you could take a second mortgage on it if he needed the money.
He knows that he was aware of FDIC limits. At one point when I came back,
yes.
He was open to $10,000.
I remember that. I don't remember the book.
Which is further proof that, well, in Jersey City, you had the, and I made that up, okay? The safe deposit box is in New Jersey, but that's the only relationship they have there, and it's
right.
Not in Archie's real name, which, of course, would not happen. Yes,
ma'am. I always assume that, given as you pointed out, had to make a getaway, he probably
made it. But their economies, you know, are doing just as bad or even worse, which is why, you know, Hitchcock, you know, may be coming. You know, he's looking for a rent-controlled apartment.
But thinking of rent stuff, I remember when the family bought it. Whichever event it was, that one of them had said, "Oh, yeah, when he was a child, his grandfather had the safe. He wanted money for the safe and opened it."
Mm, that's where Nero Wolf's safe came from. I mean, we know that they have money in the safe. We don't know how much. Archie goes to the safe many times to give money to agents, but we never know what the amount is.
Less than what's in the safe deposit box. Safe deposit box is the getaway money.
All singles. It looked like a lot.
It was small amounts of money, and it was, you know, hundreds rather than gazillions. But
I
don't know.
Would be very happy to hear your scenario. So email them to me, and I will print them.
And it will wind up in the Gazette for sure.